Welcome to the Occupational Health Special Interest Group podcast. I'm your host, Chris Studebaker. The mission of the OSIG podcast is to present important concepts and ideas from the world of occupational health to our listeners. On this podcast, we bring experts from the field of occupational health to share their unique perspectives about topics such as worker injury management, workplace wellness and prevention, pre-employment testing, ergonomics, and functional capacity evaluations. If you've not had a chance to listen to some of our other guest interviews and literature review podcasts, please go to the OSIG section of the Orthopedic Section's website, www.orthopt.org. There you can find all of the archived podcasts, plus other helpful resources. Now let's get started. This quarter we have a special guest, Dr. Heidi Oja, from the College of Public Health at Temple University in Philadelphia. She will discuss with us both her recent systematic review in the JOSPT titled Timing of Initiation of Physical Therapy for Musculoskeletal Disorders and Effects on Patient Outcomes, a systematic review, and her CSM program, Startup and Provision of Direct Access PT for Work Comp Injuries. Heidi, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm currently a full-time faculty member at Temple University. I've been working here for about 7 years, and I teach in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program as well as the Temple Orthopedic Residency program. And outside of my teaching workload, I've been getting more involved with research, specifically health services research, and I'm currently running a clinical trial that enables me to see patients who specifically have occupational health injuries.
Excellent. I know I can speak on behalf of a lot of the other people out there who work in the occupational health arena when we say that your work has been very interesting. I've had a chance to read it a little bit more in depth these last few months. So you recently published a systematic review in the JOSPT where you looked at the timing of physical therapy. You found in the report that early intervention of therapy is associated with a decrease in medical utilization, but you found that it also did not compromise patient outcomes. Can you describe your findings for the listeners?
Yeah, so we were curious if there would be a difference in patient outcomes with early versus delayed initiation of physical therapy, but our main finding was that there was more medical utilization in those that received delayed physical therapy versus early physical therapy. And so you might be thinking, well, why is this topic so important? Or I guess I can describe a little bit about why I'm so passionate about studying this topic. But I didn't realize it kind of makes sense that musculoskeletal pain is so prevalent. So the cost is pretty astounding. It's about $800 billion per year just in the United States, which is more than the cost of cardiac disease and diabetes combined. So it's a really important topic because if we can just make incremental savings with each patient that we see who has musculoskeletal disorder, then that could add up to quite a bit. And so currently standard of care for these patients is typically prescription medication, maybe referral for injections, or to other specialists, and then occasionally to physical therapists.
Yeah, doesn't it drive you nuts when sometimes we seem to be the last resort for a lot of referral sources? I mean, given the research that's out there in support of physical therapy for musculoskeletal conditions, you'd think that we'd be the front line of a lot of these treatment options, but instead sometimes we seem to be an afterthought. So Heidi, tell us a little bit about the types of research that you looked at in your review.
So this paper really included all studies on musculoskeletal disorders, but unfortunately only studies that were focusing on spinal pain met our inclusion criteria. So we can really only apply the results of our systematic review to those with back pain. But I guess it identifies the need to do more research on other areas of musculoskeletal pain, such as extremity pain.
So Heidi, in your review, what did you find to be evidence-based guidelines for low back pain? How does early physical therapy relate to the management of low back pain? What's sort of our takeaway for the audience here?
So right now, the evidence-based guidelines, at least for low back pain, suggest that very few should receive advanced imaging and opioids. But when a patient sees a physician for their pain, currently most patients receive some type of imaging and prescription medication and sometimes narcotic medication. So most physical therapists who operate outside of the military typically do not order imaging or prescribe medication. So we're essentially naturally following evidence-based guidelines, just being a physical therapist without any training. And our review suggests that physical therapy received early might have almost like a protective effect of decreasing possible unwarranted medical utilization.
Yeah, your study definitely is timely given all the scrutiny that's been placed on the use of opioids in the management of pain. Now, for this review, did you have any limitations that you found?
Yeah, so probably the largest limitation on our systematic review was that most of the studies were retrospective that met our inclusion criteria. And this makes a difference because study design affects our interpretation of the results. So, for example, a logical argument could be that patients who are sent early to physical therapy might have been seen early due to a preference for physical therapy. And maybe that subgroup could be healthier or more educated. And so we don't know if this could affect the outcomes of medical utilization and cost versus just the difference in intervention. In this case, it would be the early versus delayed timing of physical therapy. So really, further randomized studies need to be conducted to explore causation.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you have any recommendations for future research?
As I mentioned before, we can only generalize the findings to patients with back pain. So I think the nice thing about a systematic review is that we can identify gaps in literature, and right now we need more studies looking at peripheral joints, comparing early to delayed initiation of physical therapy. And probably the last plug that I have in terms of guiding future research on this topic is there's only one article by Julie Fritz that studied total episode cost as an outcome measure, and it's thought that if you use medical system more, it increases the cost. But sometimes physical therapy can be expensive too. So physical therapy cost needs to be considered in total episode cost in more studies in addition to the one study that was included by Julie Fritz before concluding that early physical therapy is cost effective. So I think that's kind of the trend with APTA and CoSTAR now promoting health services research in our profession. But I'm really interested in this type of research, and I hope more health services research is published in the field of physical therapy.
Yeah, that was sort of surprising for me when I read your article that, you know, I just would have thought that there would have been at least something about, you know, ankle sprains, you know, or one of these other very common diagnoses that, you know, you would have thought somebody would have looked at that already. But, you know, I guess it's going to be an opportunity going forward.
Yeah. And you know, one other comment is one of our exclusion criteria was like post-surgical management of conditions. So I believe there's a number of articles that look at early versus delayed physical therapy after surgery, but we really need more in peripheral joints that are patients who are conservatively managed.
Well, how do you think this article and the other research on early use of physical therapy should be applied by the PT profession? What should be, you know, the takeaway for our audience?
Yeah, I think there could be a number of useful applications of this research. Clearly, there's limitations on summarizing multiple studies in one review, but hopefully our article offers a summary of the current evidence on timing of physical therapy initiation. This may be useful to patients, clinical supervisors, insurance companies, and other medical providers. And just to give some examples, the typical assumption of other providers or insurance companies is that direct access or early physical therapy will cost more, maybe because they don't believe physical therapists can limit the total number of visits themselves. But our paper's results show that this isn't true with the physical therapists that were studied. So this paper could be used to approach physicians and insurance companies to advocate for referrals for and reimbursement of early physical therapy.
That's great. Any other applications with regard to medical utilization findings?
So along with decreased medical utilization, when patients receive imaging, they might be exposed to radiation, or when they receive surgery for a musculoskeletal condition, that might introduce complications. And we refer to this as iatrogenic harm. So the thought is, if outcomes are the same but medical utilization is less, then there could be less introduction of iatrogenic harm when the patient is seen early in physical therapy.
So, Heidi, in addition to this review, you were also part of a group that presented at CSM in February. You've been busy. You had a presentation about the use of direct access physical therapy in the management of work-related musculoskeletal disorders. Can you tell us a little bit about your group and how all of you are connected?
Yeah, so just because I've become even more interested in conducting health services research at Temple University, I partnered with a few others. Kristen Fleming and Allison Malitsky have kind of been like my tag team. I hired them to provide PT through the current clinical trial that we're conducting at Temple University. And Jeff Wright is a colleague of mine at Temple University who's a tenured PhD, and he's helping us with our statistics. And then at CSM, we presented our startup process, but in terms of running our full clinical trial, Julie Fritz has been instrumental in guiding our study methodology. So I just wanted to say thank you to her and all of her assistance with our project so far. And then the program at CSM was focused on direct access for Temple University employees, particularly those with workers' compensation injuries.
So how did you define direct access in this program?
Yeah, so direct access is a term mostly used by physical therapists, I think. Others outside of our profession probably don't even know what direct access is. But in the U.S., we've kind of used this term to refer to patients that self-refer to physical therapy without seeing a physician first. And for the workers' compensation population, this would mean that a work comp patient would seek care directly from a PT without seeing a physician. The PTs in our trial order imaging directly. They interpret imaging with the patient, and the PT determines any time off from work or restrictions, like a work restrictions required. So we're not aware of any other PT clinics that are formally studying this type of program in the U.S. It's always amazing to me that patients with workers' compensation injuries have been treated directly by PTs without referral for many years in other countries, but in the U.S., this is kind of a new concept to us. And I think just to put it into perspective, most PTs internationally have bachelor's or master's degrees in comparison with PTs in the U.S. who generally have doctor of physical therapy degrees now, at least the new grads. It's amazing to me that direct access for workers' compensation injuries has not been more of a focus in the United States.
It's crazy, you know, going back to your JOSPT article, you know, there's a growing body of evidence that supports early use of physical therapy. And, you know, the military has shown that therapists, you know, working in the direct access role are highly effective. You would think that those two things would work together and be a no-brainer for the workers' compensation system. But, you know, hopefully, you know, your work and the work of others will help to push that along. So I
just wanted to add really quickly that I don't believe that research will really change that in the United States. I think the biggest barrier is that consumers need to be more aware that they can seek physical therapy directly. So there are some great social media platforms like Get PT First that are promoting direct access physical therapy. And any conversations PTs directly have with their patients toward the end of discharge saying, do you know that you can come back to us directly next time if that PT is treating direct access, then I think that kind of helps spread the word to consumers and takes this research to, it passes on any benefits of publishing this research to the patients.
So far, what have your findings been, and what are your future course, what's your future course of action going to be?
Yeah, so We are not done our full randomized control trial. We're just in the very initial phases of data collection. We're maybe about halfway done. And our study's been successful recruiting employees with work-related musculoskeletal injuries, but it's been difficult to specifically recruit the patients who filed an official work comp claim. And I think the barrier has been that we are running a study and not a program, and any study requires informed consent documents to be filled out. And it's just a lot to ask someone in acute pain to participate in a study when their back's killing them. They just want to get in and out and not deal with any additional loopholes. So I think we would be more successful with a direct access work comp program if this was not an actual study. So that's my next thought, just to set up a program if we can figure out the logistics to Temple University so that patients don't need to participate in a study for us to see them direct access.
Yeah, it would also be interesting to see if that could be done in an on-site setting as well. I know that I work most of my week in an on-site facility where it's a little bit easier to engage those types of work-related injuries.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way of doing it, though, because the closer we are to either the work site or the employee health physician to collaborate, I think the more successful the patient, or the more satisfied the patient feels with their care. So in our program, we actually operate in a primary care office right across the hallway from the employee health physician. So we're constantly discussing cases, referring patients onward that need further workup, discussing patients who are not moving along as we'd anticipate, and brainstorming reasons why. So I've really enjoyed that collaboration, being on site, actually.
Yeah, sure. It certainly allows you to modify and adjust care almost real time compared to the more traditional, infrequent model of collaboration with the referral source.
Yeah, yeah. And we're actually going to be presenting, we've submitted a program to present at CSM next year on primary care physical therapy and ways that physical therapists can position themselves on site or earlier on in a patient's episode of care, working with hospital systems.
Sounds great. We'll be sure, once we get a little closer to next CSM, to make sure that we advertise it. Our listeners will find that to be a very valuable program.
Well, Heidi, thanks so much for coming on the show. Your research is invaluable to our listeners. And hey, maybe we can have you back on the show next year so we can talk about some of your other projects that you'll be working on.
Great. Thanks so much, Chris.
To all our listeners at home, thanks for tuning in. If you've not done so already, be sure to check us out on Facebook or on the Orthopedic Section's website. Be sure to tune in next quarter for our next podcast.